All right. Well, as I was looking over the crowd this morning, looks like a few more have come in. I was kind of reminded of that preacher that one particular Sunday morning, it was really, weather was really, really bad, and the only guy who showed up was a farmer. And farmer sat down, and the preacher said, well, he said, no one else is coming. He said, maybe we'll just go home. Farmer said, son, I'm a farmer. He said, if one cow comes, he said, I still feed him. The preacher's like, okay. So he got out his Bible and he really let him have it. And he got done and went to the back, and the farmer walked out, and the way back out, he said, if one cow comes, he said, I still feed him. He said, but I don't give him the whole load. So, well, still might all get the full load, I guess, because I think we had some people come in, so happy for that. I know lots of people are gone with summer vacation. As I was thinking about sermon today, I was reading, and some verses stuck out to me on faith, and I'm actually not going to be speaking on faith. The title of my sermon is Follow Me. But as I was thinking this over and reading scripture and the story of Abraham stuck out to me as well. And we know Abraham was a man of great faith. And then I think it was Tuesday, as I was working, I had my earphones on and whatever and listened to the radio. And a song came over the radio, and I've never heard it before and haven't heard it since. And it was about singing about Abraham. And I can't even remember exactly how it went. Just said something about Abraham. Something was between God and Abraham. You know, God was asking Abraham to give something up that was, you know, near to him. And what could God be asking you to give up? And I think it was same day I heard a preacher, one of them short little, I don't know if it was Chuck Colson or Charles Stanley or one of them guys, gave a little 2-minute devotional or whatever, and it was on Abraham. And it was one of those things where when you're thinking on that already and this comes across your mind, it really gets you excited, kind of. Not that I'm excited to be up here. So that's just kind of a little bit how my week went, as far as preparing and kind of getting some direction. So anyway, as I started to study, and I read on Abraham, just what challenged me is Genesis 22, 1 and 3, and I'm going to jump around a lot, so if you want to just follow along or however you want to do. Genesis 22, 1 through 3 says, sometime later, God tested Abraham. He said to him, Abraham, here I am, he replied. Then God said, take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the region of Moriah. Sacrifice him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains I will tell you about. Early the next morning, Abraham got up and saddled his donkey. He took with him two of his servants and his son Isaac. When they had cut enough wood for the burnt offering, he set out for the place God had told him about. And it really hit me. It's like, and I've read this thing many times before, and I've thought of this before, is that Abraham, he didn't sit and argue with God. He didn't say, well, maybe I'll give it a day or two and see if God changes his mind. He went, and kind of goes back to Genesis 12 when Abraham left to go to to another country as well. It said, the Lord has said to Abraham, this is Genesis 12, 1 through 4, leave your country, your people, and your father's household, and go to the land I will show you. I will make unto you a great nation, and I will bless you, and I will make your name great, and you will be a blessing. I will bless those who bless you, and whoever curses you, I will curse, and all peoples on earth will be blessed through you. So Abraham left, as the Lord had told him, and Lot went with him. Abraham was 75 years old when he set out from Haran. Verse 4 says, Abraham left. You don't hear a lot of arguments again. Think of Jonah. You know, Jonah went the other way, or Jonah boarded a ship to get out of there. Abraham, he just left. He went where God told him to. And so as I started thinking about that, my mind went to Luke 18 with a rich young ruler. And we know the story of that as well. I'm not going to try not to read too much for sake of time. But in Luke 18, when the rich ruler comes to Christ, he says, a certain ruler asked him, this is verse 18, "Good teacher, what must I do to inherit eternal life?" "Why do you call me good?" Jesus answered. "No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not give false testimony. Honor your father and mother." "All these I have kept since I was a boy," he said. When Jesus heard this, he said to him, "You still lack one thing. Sell everything you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come, follow me." When he heard this, he became very sad, because he was a man of great wealth. Jesus looked at him and said, "How hard is it for the rich to enter the kingdom of God? Indeed, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of the needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God." We see there the rich young ruler, he went away sad because he wasn't willing to follow Christ and to give up those riches. Not like Abraham, who was willing to sacrifice his son for God. And then we go to jump over to Matthew 9, verse 9, when Christ called Matthew. It says, as Jesus went on from there, he saw a man named Matthew sitting at the tax collector's booth. "Follow me," he told me. And Matthew got up and followed him. And it's amazing how when these happened, these guys just got up and left. They followed Christ. Matthew 4, 18 to 22 is disciples, when he's calling the disciples as well. As Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. "Come, follow me," Jesus said, "and I will make you fishers of men." At once they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James, the son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them, and immediately they left their boats and their father and followed him. And it was just a challenge to me as I read these that were willing to just make a sacrifice and to follow Christ wherever he called them to. But then there were some that didn't follow Christ. Luke 9, 57 to 62. Says, as they were walking along the road, a man said to him, "I will follow you wherever you go." Jesus replied, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has no place to lay his head." He said to another man, "Follow me." But the man replied, "Lord, first let me go and bury my father." Jesus said to him, "Let the dead bury their own dead, but you go and proclaim the kingdom of God." Still another said, "I will follow you, Lord, but first let me go back and say goodbye to my family." Jesus replied, "No one who puts his hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom of God." You know, these men wanted to follow Christ as well. Christ told them, "Follow me." But they wanted to go back and do something else. When he called the disciples, they could have said, "Well, let me clean my nets and let me go get my money that we've got from catching these fish. They owe us some money here, and let me go do this." But they didn't. They came and followed. They followed Christ as he called them. And there was even some that followed him for a little while. You know, they were his disciples. John 6, verse 66 says, "From this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. They thought some of his teachings were hard to follow. Were going to be hard. So it says, from this time, many of his disciples turned back and no longer followed him. So you see him at all stages, kind of as they went along, as Christ went along. You know, some of them didn't want to follow, didn't want to make the sacrifice. Some of them made it for a little bit, but yet they couldn't stay with him. Thought it was too hard. And it is. It's not always easy. We all know the trials that, you know, come from following Christ. John 15, verse 18 says, "The world hates you. Keep in mind that it hated me first." You know, it's not. We're not of this world. As you see today in the times today, Christianity is not. It's not as popular. People get upset or offended or whatever they want to off of it. And I actually read a verse. It's not really in my notes, but it hit me so bad. So not bad, but just hit me. Matthew 24, verses 9 and 10, and talks about in the last days. It says, "Then they shall deliver you up to be afflicted, and shall kill you, and ye shall be hated of all nations for my name's sake. And then shall many be offended, and shall betray one another, and shall hate one another." And it hit me as I seen that word offended, because that's such a prominent word today, that people will be offended. Everybody gets offended when something doesn't quite suit them. And I know the Bible often offends many, and it did back in Christ's day as well. We're called to live a life of sacrifice. Luke 9:23. Jesus said, "Then he said to them all, 'If anyone would come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me.'" And it's not easy to deny yourself. I know Friday we're going to work and it was kind of rainy, and trying to get out to a job. We were hoping it was going to stop raining, and it did, luckily. And this truck pulled out of a side road or whatever, right in front of me, and just kind of poked up for me. And that's kind of a pet peeve of mine, I guess, is somebody pulls right out in front, and then they don't go very slow. I go very fast, and kind of really got underneath my skin. But that's just one of those things, I think, where we have to, you know, it wouldn't have helped any to get angry at him and yell at him and pull up beside him and let him know that I wasn't happy, but that's kind of what I wanted to do. But then I go to John 13, verses 34 and 35, where it says, it talks about love. You know, one of the ways we can tell that we're a disciple of God is by love. It says, "A new command I give you, love one another as I've loved you. So you must love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another." So we see that, you know, we can loving the Lord and showing love for one another is one of the ways that God has called us to show it, to live. As well as Mark 12, 30 and 31. It says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the second. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There's no commandment greater than these." So we see these are the commandments that we're to live our lives by. And we know the Ten Commandments. We've all heard the Ten Commandments. And these two kind of sum up the whole thing. If we can get those two down, it kind of takes care of all the rest of them. And as I was thinking, you know, as we do these things, what is our purpose for doing these things? What is, you know, we want to love the God. What do we get? What is our reward that we get from these things, from following Christ? What does He promise us for obeying Him? In John 8, verse 12, says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, He said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. So we're promised that we'll never walk in darkness, that we'll have light. And for those who have tried to walk around in the dark, it's kind of hard. You know, you stumble into stuff and you step on toys. Those who have kids, you ever tried walking across your living room floor with tractors out at in the middle of the night? You know, you step on a tractor, don't feel too good. If you just had a little light, it would help a lot. Matthew 11, verse 28-30, is he promises rest. It says, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. And you will find rest for your souls, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light." So he promised us rest. And we've all been tired this week. We had corn. I didn't get the first night, but the second night I got it. We were up till 10:30, 11 o'clock doing corn. And you know, it's the summertime and you're busy and get up early and stay up late. And it just, you know, feels good to have a time of rest. So he promised us he would give us rest. And then Luke 6, 46 and 49 is another thing that we'll have. It's talking about the wise and the foolish builders. It says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? I will show you what he is like who comes to me and hears my words and put them into practice." So here we see he's going to tell people what it looks like. "He's like a man building a house who dug down deep and laid the foundation on rock. When a flood came, the torrent struck that house, but could not shake it because it was well built. But the one who hears my words and does not put them into practice is like a man who built a house on the ground without a foundation. The moment the torrent struck that house, it collapsed and its destruction was complete." So we see that, you know, when we do what he says, you know, we have that firm foundation. Christ is our foundation. And when the storms of life come, it doesn't just knock us over. We're able to withstand them. And then John 5:24 tells us he's going to give us everlasting life. "I tell you the truth, whoever hears my word and believes him who sent me has eternal life and will not be condemned. He has crossed over from death to life." You know, that's what we're all living for, is that eternal life. That's what we're striving for, is to live our lives that we can receive that crown of glory. And then John 14:15-27 is another one of the promises he has. And it's something we take for granted so many times, is the Holy Spirit. We don't think about, you know, when we had that little prodding from the Lord, you know, to do something, or you know, we don't think about it that we have that. And you know, an unbeliever, the world doesn't have that, and we don't think about it. We take it for granted too many times. It says verse 15. Says, "If you love me, you will obey what I command, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another counselor to be with you forever, the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he lives with you and will be in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. Before long, the world will not see me anymore, but you will see me. Because I live, you also will live. On that day, you will realize that I am in my Father, and you are in me, and I am in you. Whoever has my commands and obeys them, he is the one who loves me. He who loves me will be loved by my Father, and I too will love him and show myself to him." Then Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, "But Lord, why do you intend to show yourself to us and not to the world?" Jesus replied, "If anyone loves me, he will obey my teaching. My Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me will not obey my teaching. These words you hear are not my own. They belong to the Father who sent me. All this I have spoken while still with you. But the Counselor, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, will teach you all things and will remind you of everything I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give you. I do not give you as the world gives. Do not let your hearts be troubled, and do not be afraid. You heard me say, I am going away, and I am coming back to you. If you loved me, you would be glad that I am going to the Father, for the Father is greater than I. I have told you now before it happens, so that when it does happen, you will believe. I will not speak with you much longer, for the prince of this world is coming. He has no hold on me. But the world must learn that I love the Father, and do exactly what my Father has commanded me. Come, now let us leave. So he's going to give us peace. Verse 27, peace I leave with you, my peace I give you. And, you know, there's not a whole lot of peace right now going on in the world. And yet, we can be assured that we have the peace of God in our lives. And we have the Holy Spirit to be there with us and to be a counselor and a comforter to us. That's kind of all I have today, but it was just really stuck out to me this week as I thought about following Christ, you know, and the example that he left, and you know how we can follow him, and I thought of the many missionaries who are out there who are following, who have left home and have left everything they know. I thought of Les and Tanya's especially. You know, everybody's call is different, and their call was to go to Mongolia. They felt God calling them to follow him to Mongolia. And we can't all go to Mongolia. We can't all go to Cambodia. But yet we can follow Christ right where we are. We don't have to go across the seas or, you know, wherever he called us. He has called us to live our lives out and to be an example and let his light shine wherever we go. So my challenge is to you this week to be that light, to let Christ lead you and to follow him wherever he calls you to this week and for your life. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Dear God, I just come to you now and want to thank you for your word that you have given us. Dear God, I thank you that you have called us. Dear God, that you have called us out of darkness into your light. Dear God, I thank you for the light you have given us. I just ask that you would just be with us this week as we live our lives. Dear God, I pray that we would be receptive to what you have for us. Dear God, I pray that we would be like Abraham and the disciples who left what they were doing, who, when you called them, they answered your call, dear God. And we've all felt that tug in our hearts to do something, and we've all kind of pushed it aside and went on. But God, I pray that you would just help us to be open to your will this week. Dear God, I pray that you would help us to trust you and to obey you when you call us. I ask that you would go with us today. Dear God, think of those who aren't with us today. Pray especially for Mary and her family as they mourn the loss of her mother. Dear God, I pray that you would be with the many who are traveling to the funeral. Dear God, I pray for your protection upon them. Pray for grace and strength for the family this week. Dear God, I just ask that you would go with us and keep us. In your name I pray. Amen. All right, you are dismissed.